Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is Friday, July the 9th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, year 2010, coming to you from our studios down in Tampa, Florida. Today's topic is The Disorganized Mind by Nancy Rady, insights on the book and how someone with dyslexia and ADD can actually write a book. We're very excited about our today's show. Before I jump into things, just a reminder to visit blogtalkradio.com/attentiontalkradio. That's, again, blogtalkradio.com/attentiontalkradio. For listings of upcoming shows. We've got some listed. We've got a whole bunch that are getting ready to be released for the month of July and August. So visit the website to keep abreast of what's going on, and actually to go there, you can actually review archive shows. But with that, I want to jump into things. Again, our topic today is The Disorganized Mind by Nancy Rady. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about Nancy. Nancy's internationally recognized as one of the foremost authorities on coaching for adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. She was a chair of a national committee that created the guiding principles of ADHD coaching and is a master's certified coach. Her work's been profiled in media including ABC, CBS, NPR Radio, and national publications such as Wired, Cosmopolitan, Vogue, The Boston Globe, and The New York Times. Having dyslexia and ADHD herself, Nancy engineered her own road to success. She graduated from Ohio State University and went on to get her master's degree in education at Harvard University, specializing in administration, planning, and social policy. She has served on professional advisory boards of several leading ADHD organizations, including Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder, and is currently a board member of EDGE Foundation. And she's also developed and delivered programs for various organizations, including Harvard University, Dartmouth College, and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So with all that, without further ado, welcome to the show, Nancy.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you very much, and welcome all to all the listeners. I'm really excited to be here today.
I want to we got a lot to cover today, so I kind of want to outline a few things that we want to kind of accomplish. One is just through the pro, I'd like everybody to get to know you a little bit, Nancy. I also want to talk about just a little bit about your book, and I also want to talk about how you actually went about writing the book. As an individual with dyslexia and learning disability myself, and my writing, I'm interested to hear like the stories of how you actually go about writing it, because I know when I sit down to write, it's not like I sit at a typewriter or a computer or get a sketchboard out and kind of do it. So I want to kind of get to that, because we haven't gone into detail, but I think there's probably some good stuff in there. But to begin, thanks. Let me just ask you, how did you become an ADD coach?
Well, I guess I've always been a coach, and it was mostly due to my father being my coach. He, you know, was very rigid. He was of German descent, was in the military and academics, and I was the last of four extremely ADD kids. And I think by the time that I came along, he probably knew, okay, this one is going to drive me crazy, because there's 11 years, 12 years, and then 5 years between my other siblings. So I think by that time he, you know, was probably ready to jump off a roof, actually. But he used to really stay on top of me. He knew that I had difficulties learning and difficulties paying attention. So when he came home at night, man, when it came time for me to do my homework, I had to report into the kitchen table at a certain time. He would come in every, you know, 5-10 minutes, and he used to have this yardstick, and he would tap it on the table and say, where are you? What are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you with your homework? And I would look up and say, oh, my God, I've been drifting off for the last, you know, since the last time he came in here and tapped the table. But he really ran our house in a very, very organized and structured way. There was a place for everything, a time limit for everything, including showers, talking on the phone, doing house duties, all that kind of stuff. But probably the biggest gift he gave me that really made me want to become a coach and why I became a coach is that he would sit me down and help me analyze what it was that I was struggling with and then come up with strategies to help myself, probably because he was so exhausted trying to do it himself. So it helped me to really learn to draw on my own resources and to be creative. Because when you're a child, you don't know, oh, I need to use a Franklin planner.
Yep.
You're left to basically your own devices, and all you know is that there's consequences to you not following the rules. And so I became very adept with his help at creating strategies to kind of keep myself in line. And later on in life, when I worked at Harvard as a resident advisor and then went on to work at the Mass Office on Disability, I would run into students, obviously, at Harvard, but also administrators and staff, and then the Mass Office on Disability professionals when I was out in the field. And I noticed that everybody gravitated towards me. They wanted to know how I got as far as I got, what I did, and I could relate to them. And so basically I started passing on the strategies that I used and the methods and the concepts that my father had instilled in me. And before I knew it, people were moving forward. And I can distinctly remember I went to one of the first ADA conferences, the National Attention Deficit Disorder Association conferences, early on, and I picked up someone's card that said blah, 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 coaching on it. And, you know, I kind of tucked that away in my files. And one day, John came into my office because I ran support groups and people would call me up after the support groups. These were for professionals saying, Nancy, yeah, I'm having problems accomplishing this task and I'm going to get fired if I don't finish it by Monday. Uh-huh. So I would start doing accountability and everything with them. And one time, John walked into my office, my husband walked into my office, and he said, do you know what you're doing on the phone all the time? And, of course, immediately I hung up the phone, and I looked at him terrified, said, oh, my God, I'm ruining our marriage. Like right after we were married. And he said, no, he said, you're coaching. He said, you're a natural at it. You should start doing this as a profession. Long story short, I met up with Sue Sussman. That was the other professional that, you know, who's who had coaching on the card, and I found out that she was doing similar work to me, and we said there's got to be other people out there doing this. Before we knew it, we developed a live curriculum. It was the first curriculum for ADD coaches, and we started flying around the nation teaching people the methods and concepts that we were using.
Wow.
So
wow, that's kind of exciting.
That's the long and the short of it.
All started from your dad at the kitchen table whacking the rules. And let's focus. Let's see what's going on. One of the things that you said that I kind of like to kind of draw is that as you would analyze what you were trying to do and then creatively try to find ways around it.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. And my dad helped me with that. And it's written in my book, a story that – my gosh, you know, just sweeping the kitchen floor became an analytical task. Because, of course, being ADD, you kind of space out. You don't get the corners. You do it from here, there, whatever.
Yep.
You stop, whatever, or else you do it really fast. And he would do things, for example, come up to me and say, Nancy, look at the angle that you're holding the broom. You can get more dirt per sweep if you hold it at this angle, then you'll be able to do the job properly and get done. So it was things like that that he would really help me work on. And he also used to keep me on a Well, a long, he used to keep me on one of those extend leashes, okay? He'd let me go so far, then he'd rein
yep.
me in.
Uh-huh.
He would discipline me for something and then let me hang myself and then sit me down and say, "You don't think I've been observing you, but I've
yep.
noticed that you're breaking the rules again. So let's sit down and talk about this." You know,
uh-huh.
probably because he was just exhausted chasing
yep.
after me.
Yep.
So absolutely, it's, you know, I learned early on, okay, to avoid my father's wrath and teacher's wraths was to figure out, analyze, kind of stand outside of myself and say, okay, what are you doing and what can you do differently?
I had met Nancy a couple months ago in Chicago at a conference, and at the time we were talking about us being dyslexic. It was funny because I had never really met a peer in a business that I had that said that they were dyslexic, and we were kind of sharing stories. And I remember talking about some of our tricks or ways around some stuff, and I was talking about how dyslexia is hard for me to read, and I used to do research papers. And what I figured out was because I backed up and said, what am I really trying to do here? I'm trying to quote people, and I realized that if I went and interviewed somebody, I wouldn't have to read the material. Like, if I'm a subject matter expert, I could just ask them questions and then grab a quote, and then I could footnote it. And, Nancy, in a sense, you're describing this stuff with your father. Part of it is to back up and analyze. What am I trying to do here and take a bigger view of what's going on to try to figure out, hey, is there a different way of doing this, or is there a more effective way to do it, or is there a creative way of doing it? And I just want to kind of highlight that because a lot of coaching with ADD is really backing up and saying, what are we trying to accomplish and what do we have here, and try to move forward in some type of way that might not be what is traditionally thought of, but actually get you there.
Exactly. And I just wanted to underscore something that you said, and that is the last sentence, I can't repeat it exactly, that you said it about it might not be the traditional way to get there, and that is a key foundation or whatever, the foundation of one of the foundations of my coaching is to not try to reprogram people. So often we've been told growing up, you need to do it this way, you need to do it that way, why are you doing it, whatever. And I believe in having the person observe what it is that they do that's working. And then let's capitalize on that to bridge the gap with
yep.
what's not working. And so that is a huge key point that you said. And I did the exact same thing in school. And I can remember us sitting in that corner laughing hysterically, and no one could interrupt us because it was like the Star Trek Enterprise beam, whatever, us beaming each other, saying, "Oh my God, you mean you would just, you know, look at the book and then call up the author? So did I. Oh my God." And that's probably a lot due to the ADD too, where we just don't think of the consequences, you know, like
yep.
who would ever think that maybe, you know, the author wouldn't speak with you. I never thought that. It's just like, oh my God, I'm not going to read this book. I'm going to just interview the author. So,
well, I tell you what, I'm glad you underscored that. And I want to kind of come back to that. We actually talk about how you actually sat down and wrote the book. But before we do that, let's talk about the book. If I understand it, this book was, you wrote it, The Disorganized Mind, as a tool for those who maybe can't afford coaching, or even those who go into coaching as a kind of a reinforcement or just some strategies. Can you just tell us a little bit about the book, why you wrote it, and just give a little bit of insight before we get into some of your stuff?
Well, one of the biggest reasons pulls, I don't know what the right word is, word retrieval problems here, that really inspired me to write the book was that I knew whatever I was doing for myself worked, and that there was a greater audience out there. And I forgot the question already. I was going off on another tangent. What was the question?
No,
tell me concretely.
The question is
everyone, this is ADD. Okay, go ahead.
Well,
ask me again.
The book, The Disorganized Mind, I just kind of want to confirm to give the listeners an idea of what it's about.
Oh,
and
okay.
It.
Okay,
and
I get it. Oh, my gosh. I wrote it to give people hope. I mean, that's really the underlining message of the book. If you just read the first chapter and then the ending page, it is saying there is hope. You can live the life you want, you know, with these strategies and understanding your ADHD, that it's not a character flaw, that you can remove yourself from it, develop strategies, and move forward. You can do it. And believe me, if I could do it, anyone can do it. But the overall message is really giving people strategies and methods to self-manage so that they have hope for the future. So many of my clients come to me in a panicked state and completely hopeless and blaming themselves. So that's probably the main reason why I wrote the book, was to say, hey, here are methods and strategies that work, and here are people that you might be able to relate to.
That's fun, because not only are you just giving some strategies that work for you, but some of the, I understand you're, in the book you show many stories of some other people so that you can relate to and actually see some of these things in action.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is very powerful. So I tell you what, Nancy, what I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of break for a commercial for a second and then come back and kind of talk about the craziness of writing a book. But before we do, can you let the listeners know how they could contact you if they've got any questions, or if they want to buy the book, where would they go to get it?
Okay. Well, first of all, go to my website. It explains what coaching is and the methods and talks a little bit about the book. And that's Nancy at NancyRatey.com. Also, there's a link there where you can click on it and go to Amazon and buy the book. Also, I have another website, The Disorganized Mind, and there's parts of the book in there and forms you can fill out to kind of help yourself self-coach. So the www.thedisorganizedmind or nancyrady.com. Everyone is completely free to email me. This is my life's work, and I'm happy to help people out.
So if they go to nancyrady.com, they can learn about coaching. They can also access the book there. And if they go to disorganizedmind.com, they can also kind of go in and get some excerpts and more forms and more details on the book, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Everybody, if you'll, we'll be right back, and we'll talk to Nancy about how she actually went about writing this book right after this break.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dick Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to DickCoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to Attention Talk Radio. With me in my virtual studio is Nancy Rady, author of The Disorganized Mind. Let's see. In the back half of the show, I want to have a little bit of fun here, Nancy. We've got about 11 minutes left. Can you share or begin to share your experience? I mean, a lot of people out there, a lot of ADHDers I've talked to, you know, I want to write a book. And, you know, you sit down and you kind of do it, and I have this vision of, like, you know, you just sit there with a typewriter or a notebook and you kind of write a book. Is that the way you did it? Nancy, do we have you? Hang on a second. We might be having some technical difficulty.
Hello?
Nancy, you there?
Hello?
Yeah,
yep,
Nancy, what?
Yep.
So tell our listeners a little bit. Did you, when you, to write this book, did you sit down and write it out, or what kind of craziness did you endure in order just to actually write this book?
Now, a couple of things. For years, I had kept a file that had strategies in it, thinking that I would write a book one day. And then I was contacted by three publishers and an agent. So thank God I didn't have to go through the business of trying to peddle my goods or what have you. So it was very serendipitous how I came about to write the book. But I already had most of the information. But you said, how does one go about sitting down and actually writing it? I had an army of people helping me. I went through two ghostwriters. I had my goddaughter literally living with me and reining me in. We had posters all over of the different case histories, the big, huge, giant Post-its, the 4x3, all over the kitchen, covering the refrigerator. And I can remember once John came in, or when I first started doing that, John came in and said, and tried to get in the refrigerator, and we both were like, no, don't mess with the poster. It has our notes on it, because I'm very visual, so I had to see everything at the same time. Anyway, he left for the weekend. You know, if he couldn't get in the refrigerator, that was the end of him staying at home. But I found it very hard to keep myself sitting down. And like I said, I went through two ghostwriters. The first one just took too long to get stuff back to me because, as you can tell, I'm very fast. I have the big H and all that other kind of stuff. But the second ghostwriter that I had, she was ADD, and she would send me questions, because this is the way that I got through graduate school too, is I write about my own experiences. Because I'm dyslexic, I have a really hard time synthesizing information. So she basically would write me a question on email, and I would answer it and send it back. Write me a question, answer, and within 8 hours, she would come back with something written, you know, for me to edit. But getting myself motivated, there were all sorts of insane things I did. I remember for 6 weeks over the summer, I ordered 76 yards of dirt, and if anyone knows what that is, it's about it, that would fill someone's garage, okay? And I had five to 10 yards delivered each week, and I knew when the truck was backing up the driveway because it had that beep, 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 beep with the dirt,
yep.
And I would then send the chapter off and then spend the rest of the weekend rewarding myself by shoveling this dirt into buckets and wheelbarrows, because I had a vision of making my backyard level, which is absolutely ludicrous because there's a huge hill there. But anyway, and then I was sitting out there one day and I said, oh my God, look, my backyard would be bigger if there weren't that hill there. It was ludicrous.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you're, to motivate yourself to actually write this stuff, is you're excited about having a dump truck deliver dirt, to play in the dirt, to level out your backyard, but you couldn't play with that dirt until you actually got a chapter off?
Absolutely. Right. And then the other thing I did, and I'm beginning to remember a lot of this stuff. I changed my office, moved my office into six different places in the house. And people had bets, that friends had bets, that the next time they came over to my house, that my office would be moved. I mean, I moved it three different places, in the basement, upstairs, downstairs, in the kitchen, in the formal living room, everywhere, trying to look for, quote unquote, the right spot. And that's not true. You just really have to have the ability to find out what it is that's going to work from you and for you, and then capitalize on that. For instance, I would sit and look at the computer for hours, you know, thinking, oh, somehow magically my fingers are going to start typing on the keyboard. Not. So what I found out is that if I got in my car, drove off to a parking lot, and I had two batteries, you know, or a spare battery for my computer, and if I did that, I'd be in my own little bubble, no interruptions or anything, and I would just be there with my computer. And I don't know why, I like odd numbers, but I would wait till the battery drained to 73%. Then I would write like a banshee. When it got to 3%, I would change batteries, and then the same thing would happen, and it guaranteed me 2 hours of writing. So, and that put the gun to my head. I knew that I operate well when I have a gun to my head. So I created situations where that would happen. And I created a system of rewards like the dirt that helped me.
The battery story is hilarious because not only do you go out there with us, you got to find out a period of time, but you can actually see a little icon start to decrease for that panic to set in, like, I got to get the rest of the thing out because at some point in time, it's gone.
Exactly. You know, and it was also a change of environment. It was away from my house. It was my own little bubble. I could watch people drive in and out of the parking lot or, you know, what have you. But that battery draining, that was like, oh, my God, you know, I've been sitting here for, you know, 15, 20 minutes already. And, oh, my God, what am I doing? And so that really worked for me.
I'm curious, when you would sit out there and watch people go by, do you think just looking up and kind of daydreaming or something I call hypofocus, it's like there's hyperfocus where you kind of like zone in. And you're just getting this in. There's the hypofocus where you back up and you just kind of daydream a little bit, waiting for thoughts and ideas. Did that help you at times, or just?
Oh my God! Well, when I saw people in the parking lot, I thought maybe that they were going to think I was crazy. So, you know, with my seat all the way back, kind of leaning back in my car, so it made me work even harder. But another strategy that I used was taking running breaks and exercise breaks. Because that's when I found, when I got into the rhythm of exercising and running, that I would think of a new idea. Of course, that meant that I had to run with a mini tape recorder and a pad of paper and pencil and, you know, God. But because it never failed, I'd be out in the woods somewhere or 5 miles away from home, and I'd come up with a brilliant idea. You know, at least it got my running speed up, because then I'd have to run home really quickly and type it up. But
So interesting. So you've got Post-its all over the place. You got dirt being delivered. You're running with your laptop with two batteries to the park, and you're having these breaks. All of this somehow is all coordinated in some way to actually bring this stuff together to actually physically produce a book.
Oh my gosh, yes. And then the other thing that I had to do is I had timers all over the house and all over my body. I had one of those professional sports watches, the big ones that you see coaches wearing. I had that time to beep every hour on the hour. Then I had another one of these hiking things. I have whatever, some watch thing hanging from my belt loop that would beep every half hour on the hour. And then I had a sports watch that beeped every 15 minutes, because inevitably I would be sitting there trying to type something up, and then I would look out and say, oh, my God, look at the weeds in the yard, you know, and then 4 hours would pass, and I'd be ripping up the entire yard, you know, every single dandelion I had to get. It's like, oh, my God, hurry up with the dandelion so that you can get back and work. Well, okay, nightfall comes. Hello, you still haven't written the book. So those were the self-check-ins that I had to do. I mean, managing myself was incredible. The writing of the book actually was not the hard part, because they were stories of clients and things that I wanted to share, and I was speaking from my heart. And if you read the book, you'll see that. But the whole thing of the dyslexia and the being able to rein yourself in, self-manage, and sit down was the part that was hard for me.
And I guess what I'd like to highlight, Nancy, one of the cool things about having you on the show is not only to let everybody know and expose you to the world that's out there, and that there's hope and there's resources for people, and to say, hey, listen, there's a book that's there that's available, is actually to give everybody an idea that this is not necessarily what you've described, dandelions and dirt and batteries and running and Post-its all over the place. Those are real things that go into making the book, and there's a hope. But that's the kind of way – it's the way that you go about doing it. It might not be the way other people do it, but it's the way you do it. So you didn't reprogram yourself. You're doing it your way.
Exactly. And I can remember once a TV crew came in my office, and I had one of those white, sticky, white board paper things, whatever, all down the entire wall of my basement, and big Post-its and everything and color-coded. And the interview woman, you know, for NBC or whatever it was, just was so overwhelmed. And she said, how in the world do you work in this environment? And I turned around to the cameraman and I said, you understand this, right? Because, he would be the visual one. And he said, this is brilliant. I'm going to use it. So, and also just one other thing is I also had to write huge notes to myself everywhere. You are good. You are wonderful. I'm finally finished. This is great. And so There is hope, people. Just use your creativity and realize that the ADD is not going to go away. You have to remain vigilant, but you have to use strength-based strategies.
So here's the thing. Go read the book and remember about the dirt, the dandelions, and all the post-its as you read it. You'll enjoy it. Nancy, thanks for coming on the show, and everyone else, we'll catch you for the next edition of Attention Talk Radio. Bye, everyone.
Okay, great. Thank you. This was an honor. Take care, everybody.